Exactly 8 o'clock. Huh? A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Huh? So today is the 20th August 2024. Huh? Tuesday class. As usual, we'll be sharing the following Dhamma from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Huh? We are at page 600 something, 602, yeah. So as usual, let us gather. We will have our physical puja. Come. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Suying Pu Sa. Nam mô Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô Mê Lạc Phật. Nam mô Mê Lạc Phật. Nam mô Mê Lạc Phật. Nam mô药师佛. Nam mô药师佛. Nam mô药师佛. Nam mô Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ sammāsaṃ buddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami suppatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu mechachara Musāvādā veeramani sikkhapadang samādhiyāmi. Surāmerayā majjhapamādatthāna veeramani sikkhapadang samādhiyāmi. Then we shall continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Gannasāra Paditthena dipena tamadang sina tilokadipang ุเปนะหังสุขังหินาปูจาเยปูจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจานามุตตมังวันนากันดาโกนุเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิปตังกุเสเมนาเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเจโหตุโมคังภูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสภาวังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังOkay, now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein.Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense.Which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits ofborn of these offerings. May our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. So this awareness-based meditation is very important.And when you have the understanding, it's very easy to develop it. So just remember the for support for awareness-based meditation, especially the first three. Basically, we only need to relax body and mind completely so that our mind, our physical body is really relaxed and at ease. No more thinking, no more thought. Then second support is to maintain awareness. Means we just have to hold on to the awareness within. Means maintain the awareness nature that each and every one of us has. Most human beings are not able to do it because they think a lot. They verbalize a lot. Their thought process is very, very noisy and very busy, very heedless. So to maintain awareness means just allow the awareness nature to be there. Means stay there. Maintain awareness. Whatever arises within our six sense door, don't try to know, don't try to do anything, don't respond or do anything. Just aware, finish. Yeah. Sometimes because of your conditioning, your so-called habitual reaction and movement, instead of being aware, you will go and perceive. But it's okay, because before you understand, you tend to go back to your old way. So whatever arises, even if you're supposed to be aware, but it moves on to the perceiving of what it is, like through your senses. When there is any sense data that imprints upon your sixth sense door, then it will bring forth that respective consciousness. Then this consciousness, when they arise, is just the pure consciousness. Nobody behind. So if it's from the seeing consciousness, there is no one to see. Hearing consciousness, no one to hear. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process is the same. So maintain awareness means whatever happens, arise, away. Even perception arise, away, finish. Don't continue. Don't allow the thought to continue or that thinking process to proliferate. Otherwise, it will lead to heedless thinking. It will lead to the habitual reaction to sense experience. So all these aggregates of mind will create thought process, thinking. To be aware is to be without thought. Yeah, the awareness nature before the knowing is our true mind, the silent mind. So awareness-based meditation means we are trying to develop that inner awareness, stabilize it, so that you understand what that thing is. So relax, maintain awareness, then continue to stabilize the inner awareness. That is the third support. So if every time whatever arises within your sense basis, you just aware, finish, then it will bring about the deconditioning of all the thinking, the thought process, the arising of aggregates of mind. And through that, you will come to realize another mind, which is just the inner awareness without thought, is just that silent within, that pure awareness nature without thought. So if you can do that, your mind will transform and become beautiful. Then for the first time, you will realize that you are able to be in the state of without thought. Just aware. Yeah. Initially, for those who are not trained, you are like new or haven't developed the understanding and stability, it may appear difficult, but never mind. Give it a try. Not long, If you really have the faith and understanding, you just let things be. Don't want to know, don't do anything, just relax, maintain awareness. Then let the mundane mind or thinking mind slow down by itself until it becomes very quiet. Then when that happens, means the heedless thinking mind has actually slowed down and finally ceased. When it ceases, you will know what that sati is, what that awareness is. That's how you stabilize it. Yeah. Then for the first time you come into contact with that silent mind, you will have a lot of joy. Because it's like all the noise, all the chattering, the verbalization, the thinking, the whatever mental activity, the movement, they like initially slow down and finally cease. It will end. Yeah. So the ending of the thinking will allow the silent mind or our true mind to surface, to become distinct and clear to us. That's how we realize the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness. But the moment thought arises, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. That's why to maintain awareness initially is not easy. But once you have the understanding and the training, it becomes so much easier. So with that, I will let you meditate on your own. Eh? I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then you can have your awareness-based meditation. Eh? Okay. Then for those who are already able to develop the stability of inner awareness, you can do the fourth support. The fourth support is trust, T-R-U-S-T, trust. Trust your inner nature to do the meditation, the meditative transformation. Just let that nature move by itself without any interference from our thought process, our memories, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, which means you maintain awareness and stay at the heart area. No need to know, no need to do anything. Whatever arises, aware, finish, aware. Then let that awareness detect around your heart area. So not long when you can stabilize the awareness nature around there, then it will suddenly pick up whatever vibration around your heart area or your heartbeat and all those things, it will pick it up. Then you stay with it. The awareness and the vibration or the heartbeat silence everything and stay with it, be with it. Means awareness and the kaya activity, the movement as one. Until it become like perfectly synchronized. Means your awareness and the kaya movement or that so-called vibration movement, could be your heartbeat or whatever, you will experience it like without thought, very quiet, very peaceful. Then you can experience piti, sukhang, then maybe some form of quietness. They call it the spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, the quietness of mind. Once that one arises, it's a good sign. Yeah. Means you can stay there and let things be. Then suddenly when it detects the gateway, the cultivator will know. All your external yin-yang energy, they will start to melt inside and the whole movement will start to happen. Different people approach it differently, experience it differently, but the one who is doing it, they will understand. Yeah. So all these are the essential understanding. Yeah. So depending on what stage you are, you just do appropriately. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Shyakawaisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijjacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayasatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Now you can just be seated, relax body and mind, and maintain some more awareness. But before we start, maybe I just want to share a little bit about the coming retreat. It's Tuesday already. So this coming Friday, we will leave for our annual retreat, which is at Sampo Temple, Cameron Highland, early morning. So do read through the program. There are two pickup. First is section 17, I think the location, Ingby has already put in the Maikayamita and annual retreat website. It is near, I think, Suyan's house, but in a big car park there. You should try to go there early. Then there is a time where you're supposed to meet, then the bus will leave. Then the bus will come to my place for the second pickup. So at the second pickup, if you cannot make it to the first pickup, you just let any of the Kayamita know, then you can come to my house, which is at SS2, second pickup. Here we will leave at 8 o'clock, but the bus should reach my place by 8:10, 7 something, before 8, if I'm not wrong. Or even 8 o'clock or slightly after 8. Then we will pack everything from here onto the bus. Then we will leave from my house. So if you miss the first one, you try to make it to my place. Otherwise, you let us know, we'll wait for you. But try not to be too late. It's best you come early. Then from my place, those who coming to my place, if you want to have breakfast, you can come earlier. Maybe meet at my place about 7:15 to 7:20, like that. Then opposite my house, you can have your breakfast at the coffee shop there. Then within less than half an hour, you should finish. So come back here and load our luggage up. Then we will leave from my place, okay? Then the other thing you must remember is all the list of things are the checklist that Ingby has given you all. So Sister Ingby has listed a very comprehensive one. But the more important one are your warm clothing, because the temperature up there is quite cold at night. Daytime is about 20 plus degrees Celsius, maybe 23 to 25 or what. Then at night it can drop to sometimes 12 degrees Celsius, but most of the time it's about 15 to 16. So you must have enough warm clothing. If you have heat tech, I think extra warm, or the better quality type of heat tech, then it should be sufficient. Well, their blanket which is provided is quite warm and quite thick. Then most important thing is, after you have your heat tech on, you can have your jacket or warm clothing over it. Then with the blanket, it should be quite sufficient, warm enough. Then don't forget your medication, for people who need medication, you bring it along. Then the books, I think Sister Padmasri has listed out all the books that you're supposed to bring along. If you don't have, you can get it from Padmasri or me. The Singaporean group, I think three of them, they are coming over to my house this Thursday about 3 to 3:30 to pick it up. Then for those who still don't have, you let us know. I was trying to bring some copies up. I have about 3 copies only, I think. But the other books, I may have 8 to 10 copies. So regarding the program, I already sent out the soft copy. You all can have the hard copy when you are up there. Then read through the program so that you understand. Then there's a duty list also, I think. Sister Padmasuri, Alicia, they all, yeah, they have come out with the duty list, yeah, to help Kayamita attending this annual retreat, yeah, to have the what they call understanding, yeah, to make this retreat a very conducive retreat. Because we have decided to, like previous year, hire helpers. There are 5 of them. This year we got an extra, total 5, to help us with the washing of dishes, all those things. So we don't have to do that ourselves. Then, if I'm not wrong, even cleaning of the toilet, I think we also ask the helper to help us do. So your duty is very light. Most of them are involved with the meditation hall, yeah? The setting up and the cleaning and all things. I think PG will be in charge. There are quite a number who will help them. Ah. Sister Ingby and you. I saw your name there. Yeah, so don't worry. Yeah? The rest is sweeping the corridor, mopping a bit. Then there are 2, I think, strong people who need to carry the water, drinking water or whatever. So if the 2 of you can manage, it's the best. If cannot, you ask Jin Hao to help you. Jin Hao quite familiar with the handling of the distilled water and all those things. But bear in mind, Jin Hao busy with the recording and also the Zoom session. So those who follow from Zoom, this year, I think there will be a lot more. Yeah. So the login I was told by Jin Hao is the same. But the timetable actually follow our retreat program. So Jin Hao will send it out. Yeah. Then any changes, we will inform you. Yeah. This Thursday night, Jin Hao will send it out, the link, everything, and the program timing. Yeah. So that you can plan your time to actually attend them. Yeah. Then there are a few who has contacted me to collect the books and also inform me that they are attending the Zoom. Yeah. So this year there will be more. Then in the physical class, I think this year we have about near to 30, 29 to 30. Yeah. So basically, prepare yourself, especially that morning or the day, the night before. Pay respect to your author and make the affirmation or determination that you want to make full use of this retreat, annual retreat, to help you gain further understanding and progress so that you can be a blessing to all. Like many Kayamita who has done it. So this window of opportunity is very important. And it's a very unique window. Then even Sister Chui now, she is already very different, very serious. She told me, but Theo, I'm going to be dead serious and go all out for all this. So he already prepared himself. Ever since he helped us do up the last book, she become very different. Yeah. So all these are very useful understanding. Then hopefully it can give you more faith and motivate. For those who cannot attend, you can go through Zoom. I was told Brother Kok Loon also cannot because he got his work and his apparently duty to do, so he has informed us that he will attend the Zoom wherever he can fit in. So those who cannot attend, don't worry. Like Brother Kwa from Penang, I think he told me he got a trip, I think somewhere. But don't worry, you come back like previous year or last year. I think he take his own sweet time to go through all the recording. And he completed it. I think he went through it at least 2 or 3 rounds, if I'm not wrong, he told me. And then he has a lot of faith because after going through, you become very different. Because at the retreat, when you are there, continuously just following the retreat program, developing the mindfulness, the awareness, and stabilizing your awareness and understanding, then listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, contemplating, reflecting, inquiring. So all this will bring forth causes and conditions for you to progress. And when you are there, the collective energy, collective consciousness, and all the great beings, nature there, will help you. Yeah. Then the moment you wake up on that Friday morning, prepare yourself well, then get ready, then come early, so that everybody can be on time to leave with the bus at your decided destination. Then maintain mindfulness from the moment you wake up. Maintain awareness. Whatever you do, aware, silent. Then only speak or talk when necessary. Apart from that, try to maintain noble silent awareness within. Means whatever you do, we choose aware with mindfulness within. Every action, every movement in the present moment, all your kaya activity, all your observation, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, maintain awareness. Then sooner or later, your specific phenomenal awareness will come. Then you will enter sati. Especially if you can maintain this until you reach Cameron Highland, then even the bus, in the bus traveling, you can maintain awareness. Then you can observe how your mind stir, move, react, the usual activity. Then when you try to maintain awareness, you see the difference. You are now in charge. Means you have developed the training of your mind to be aware. And this mind, which has become more aware, will not be heedless like before. Then it will stabilize. That's how you can develop the true progress. Oh yeah, the time, sorry. So somebody in B has typed this one, very good. Leave from SS17 at 7 a.m. sharp. This is good. Oh, leave SS2 at 7:30. Oh, that is early. Yeah? But never mind. If that is the case, those who want to come for breakfast, you better come at 7 o'clock. Yeah? Sorry for the change in all this. Yeah? But don't worry. I think we will have a bit of time for you. Yeah? Maybe 7:45 we leave, still okay. So I will have to adjust. Well, I told the Singapore people to come to my house at about 7:15 for breakfast. Maybe I need to tell them to come at 7 now. Okay, don't worry. Thank you, Amy, for the message. But according to my program, we're supposed to leave at 8 o'clock. So if you follow my program, then you have to let us know, text to us. But the bus will leave at 7 a.m. from SS17, those from there. Those from SS2 leaving one, you better come early. Since it's mentioned 7:30, you try to make it by 7:30, so that even if you are late, maybe 15 minutes or what, we can consider it and wait for you. Because we need to load up our things in the bus too. So for the bus to reach from Subang, maybe half an hour, not enough. Normally it take more than that. Normally they will arrive at 7:40 like that. But just in case, be early. Okay? So that's about all. If you got any question, you just WhatsApp us on the Maikayamita. Okay, now we go to our sharing. We will continue from where we stopped. Okay, page 602, specific analogies. So first one is analogy of the elder seeing the fire burning, the burning house. The analogy of the elder choosing the cart over the tables. Then number three is the analogy of giving a Greek card to each child impartially. Then number four is the analogy of not being guilty of lying. So we will go to the sutta proper, the sutra proper. Okay, the elder, which is the Buddha, seeing the flame rising on all four sides, is greatly alarmed and thinks, although I am able to escape safely through this burning doorway, all my children are trapped inside the burning house, and they are happily attached to their amusement, unaware and unknowingly, neither alarmed nor fearful. A fire is pressing in upon them. So this is a typical scenario where living beings who are heedless and without the Dhamma understanding, they behave this way, not seeing the danger of being heedless and the suffering that is pending. So all these are very good analogy. So I read on. A fire is pressing in upon them, causing shearing pain, very severe pain and suffering. However, they remain unconcerned because of their delusion, their ignorance, their heedlessness, and have no desire to find a way out. Well, they don't see the danger. Why should they run? They are still happy and lucky. Happy and merry with what they are doing. They are still entangled to the phenomenal world of consciousness, thinking that it's very amusing, very nice, and they are still playing. So commentary by Master Xuanhua. The elder seeing the flame rising on all four sides. The elder here means the Buddha. Sees with the Buddha eye, living beings in the sixth destiny, means Liu Tao Lun Hui. The sixth destiny is another description for the 31 planes of existence. Because the five woeful state and the manusa or human rhyme is the same. But the sixth rhyme, they call it the heavenly rhyme. So the heavenly rhyme, they include all the devas, the deva rhyme, the brahma rhyme, and the formless rhyme. So that one constitute the balance, which is 26. 26 plus 5 is 31. So the sixth destiny been burned by fire of the five skanda means the five aggregates, grasping aggregate, they are the cause of suffering. So all this mental suffering, physical suffering, karmic retribution, suffering, affliction, they are like fire, burning, shearing, tormenting. So to the Buddha, he can see them, living being who don't have the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, they will be like trapped. They cannot escape from this law of karma. So living beings of the sixth destiny, they have been burned by the fires of the five skanda. Means, due to your lack of wisdom, the five aggregate is being grasped onto. That's why the upadana kandas or grasping aggregate is the cause of suffering. If there is no delusion, sakyaditi, to grasp, to cling, to hold onto this fire aggregate, then you will be free. You will not be entangled. You will not grasp, cling, and deludedly hold on to them, leading to all the first noble truth, reality that conditions suffering and misery. Means the reality of life and existence. Then the Buddha sees that living beings are in grave danger in the burning house of the tree rind. The tree rind also represent the 31 plane of existence. We have the sensual rind, the form rind, and the formless rind. Total 31 plane. Then the foresight represent the four application of mindfulness. Means if you do not cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, you cannot liberate your mind. You cannot free. Then you will be entangled. So this burning house of the three rhyme or 31 plane of existence, they really bring forth suffering. So this is a very good analogy. So those who are deluded, heedless, who don't have the understanding, they will become victim to all this. So for us, cultivator of the way, you see the danger of heedlessness, the danger of not having this Dhamma understanding, then living being will get entangled. So it's just like for those Kaimita who has developed the understanding, you see the danger of being heedless very clearly. But that is the way things are. Living beings are just the way they are. Being deluded, they live the heedless life, the deluded way. So all this entanglement is very natural. Then for those who haven't developed the understanding, maybe you still don't see the grave danger in being heedless. But for those who have the understanding and have seen it, realize it, they will never allow it to happen again. So all this is what the teaching is capable of. It can let you develop the wisdom and the understanding to liberate your mind, to free you completely from suffering within the conditioned world, so that this burning house will not trap you. Because when you have the understanding, you see with direct seeing the clarity of it, then you will not grasp, you will not cling, and you know, he know you, he know me. No one die, no one born, no one sick, no one old. The world is still the world, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. There is no permanent unchanging entity within where we can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto and say, this is me, therefore all this can be mine. That is delusion. So I will read on. The four foundation of mindfulness, they are, number one, mindfulness of the body. So here they use the Mahayana tradition to approach it. They always say, contemplate the body as impure. This one is to develop the non-attachment, the non-clinging. So that's why they use the word impure. But the actual teaching in the four foundation of mindfulness, as we all have gone through the Theravada tradition teaching, there are basically six categories of cultivation and practices. So this one, contemplate the body as impure, is only under one of the contemplation, the six, the 32 parts. Actually, the 32 part got deep meaning. It show to you that when the parts come together, like the bullock cart analogy, then they perform a function, then you give it a name, a concept, then it arise, exists already, like the block card. So our physical body is the same. When karmically conditioned, this 32 part comes together through our birth and DNA formation. Then the what they call concept and idea of a human being arise, of a living being arise. So when that arise, it creates sacrality within us. So that one is more important. But they always say the 32 parts are very foul, impure and all those things, so that you are not attached to the form. The real Dhamma actually is not this way. Because you must understand that this form and mind is karmically conditional and it has its phases. Then you know how to maintain, take care of it, keep it clean. It can be a beautiful vehicle and a tool for you to make use of it while in this existential world. Because to come to this existential world, we need a vehicle and a tool, which is the form and mind, the fire aggregate. And this one, although not you, but is very, very much connected to your karmic nature, your whole existential journey. So understanding all this is not easy unless you have developed the bodhisattva way, the deep penetrative understanding of the conditioned and the unconditioned to understand all this. That's why this teaching is very unique. And very few people can have the understanding to share and teach all this. So, like the sutta say, Zhen sheng nan de fo fa nan wen. Zhen sheng nan de jing yi de fo fa nan wen jing yi wen. Means, to be born as a human being is very rare indeed. And to be born as a human being and yet encounter the true Dhamma during the Buddha Sasana is even more rare. But since all these two already fulfilled, it is a great condition. That's why I say golden window of opportunity for you to really develop the understanding to transform. Then make full use of the bodhisattva vow that I have taught you, to make sure that this life you set the causes and conditions for all your future coming. All your future coming, whether you choose to come or you have to come. All this, once you set it, stabilize it, plant the seed of Bodhi, and follow the advice that I have given you, the four page bodhisattva vow. Which is this one. I also bring this along at the retreat. I normally slip it together with the blue book, the Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Yeah, we are going to make use of it to actually reaffirm our bodhisattva vow when you are there. For those who already have been doing it, I think it's your routine already. You're supposed to do it every day for at least 6 months until it becomes a part of you. So all these are the understanding. We go back to the notes, the sutta, sorry, or the commentaries. So the actual cultivation is to develop mindfulness stability, to realize our inner awareness nature, so that we have this awareness within sati, mindfulness, so that you can from there stabilize it and use it to meditate, to develop heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So the key to kaya upasana is to anchor your mindfulness to your kaya. That's why the first category of practice is anapanasati within kaya upasana. Mindfulness of kaya means train your mind to have mindfulness of the in and out breath. Well, your breath is always with you, unless you are dead. Otherwise, your breath is always with you. As long as you are breathing, you can meditate. You can train your mind to be aware. So that one is taught by the Buddha at that time. But now I teach you the easier way is the four support. Eh? Yeah. So finally, you will come back to the Anapanasati also. With Anapanasati, you're supposed to develop the stability of mindfulness until the breath becomes very subtle, then like no more breathing. Then you maintain awareness at the subtle breathing until the sati become more refined, then your mind enters sati. And then the subtle breathing also become clear to you. Then you like no need to breathe. And yet the awareness is there. That very subtle, very shallow breathing, you like can stay there without breathing. And that is the stability or sati that you need to develop. That's why after you have that developed, then you can move on to the next category of cultivation. Mindfulness of the four posture. Standing away, sitting away, then lying down away, walking away. So when you can do these four posture, then you need to connect the other connecting activity or movement. That's why the third category of practice is to cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment. That's why the instruction under this third category of cultivation is standing away, looking forward away, bending, turning, stretching away, putting on the shoulder cloth, the clothing or whatever, away. So now we come back to our society. Whatever household work you do at home, away. Even answering nature's call, away. Then when you want to go out, pay respect order, do it mindfully. Then arise, then how you move to collect your kaki or what, to drive or what, maintain awareness, be alert, be mindful. If you can live your life this way, mindfulness will build up. When body and mind become one, means the awareness and the kaya become one, means specific phenomenal awareness, your sati become very stable. Your daily mindfulness become very stable. Then you are aware in the midst of life. That's how you become heedful. And most of the time you are without thought. It's just the awareness. You only arise a thought when you need to use them. Then after that only come to the next contemplation on the four elements. The four elements is to tell you that this physical body is only elements, consists of elements, no knowing, cannot be you. Understand? So this physical body make up of the four elements, they go the way of nature. That's why they are of the nature to grow old, get sick, be injured and die, like what the Buddha taught in the five daily contemplation, the first three. Then the next one is mindfulness of the 32 parts. So the 32 parts already told you, when the parts come together and perform a function, then the human being, they arise, like manifest really. That's why it's condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating. So without all these causes and conditions and parts coming together, the so-called physical body together with the consciousness that is trapped inside through the karmic process cannot materialize. And because of that, you see clearly that this form of mind, which is dependent originating, condition arising, is not a permanent and changing entity. Hence, non-self, not you. So don't be deluded by it. Do not be deceived by it. Don't go and cling onto it, grasp onto it, and worry about it getting old, getting sick, injured, and die. That is delusion. That's why after you do this too, then you contemplate the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. That one, you contemplate the body as impure, foul. How when it's devoid of consciousness, it go the way of nature. It start to deteriorate very smelly. So how the four element break down and get transformed? That's why some religions say from dust to dust, ultimately he become the skull, everything also become dust, then blown away. Yeah. So all these are the contemplative aspect of mindfulness. But the key one is the daily mindfulness, the stability of sati and developing the daily mindfulness. Then the contemplative wisdom is to see the dependent originating, condition arising, the 32 parts, the four elements, all those things. Then the next one, I will read through what Shen Hua. We have Mahayana like to contemplate this way. He said, our body are unclean and filthy. He always used the Mandarin word, 臭皮囊. You know, skin bag. 臭皮囊. Pi is skin. Nang is bag. So, in what way is it unclean and filthy? Or impure? He said, take a look. Your sweat, perspiration, flows from the entire body through our pores and all those things. And once you perspire, you smell, you need to take bath and all those things. Then tears and discharge flow from your eyes. The wax ooze from your nose. And mucus flow from your nostril. The phlegm and saliva from your mouth. These seven orifices, opening, are constantly leaking unclean substance. At the elimination three orifice, means your stool and all those things, and you have the nine holes that constantly ooze impurity. Everyone is familiar with this impurity, your urine, your stool and all those things. Then in our flesh and blood, there are many kinds of bacteria that are also impure. But not everybody is familiar with this impurity. When the bacteria are mixed in blood, the blood become unclean. Similarly, when mixed in flesh, the flesh become unclean. Even though I say this, someone may still not believe this at all. But in the future, advances in science will no doubt prove that the flesh and the blood are unclean. It's all very complex. Especially when people eat a lot. Or strange thing that gets into their blood system and vital energy and do strange thing. The substance within the digestive system are also unclean. Within our intestine, all those things. Why would you get so obsessed about the body given how filthy it is? So this is the Mahayana way of reflecting on the physical body. But mindfulness of kaya is not only this. This one is just one aspect, which to me is not the critical one. The critical one is to anchor your mindfulness to develop the sati. Then the other thing about this kaya nupassana is, under the last category of cultivation, the nine stages of cemetery decomposition, when this physical body is devoid of consciousness, means the causes and condition no longer there, means the entity cease to be, your identity cease to be. So what happens is, that physical body devoid of consciousness goes the way of nature. And that is really the nine stages of decomposition that show you really this body is really foul, very, very filthy when it's devoid of consciousness. So don't be deceived by the phases of life that you experience as you grew up, as a child, your youth, your beauty, and all those things. Then after that, as you grow old, you, how you age, how your senses feel you, how your organ feel you, how you develop sickness, disease, and all those things, how you confront the first noble truth reality of old age, sickness, injury, and death. So all these, they are realities of life and existence. So contemplate them, see them clearly. Do not be deceived by the external form, external phenomena. Then don't grasp and cling by the false appearance. Because that youth, that beauty, it doesn't last, understand? It's all dependent originating, condition arising, manifestation of consciousness. That's why it's called a phenomenon of consciousness. They may appear very real, and they can really lure and entice the living being. But when you have the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, you see the unreality of it. You see the what they call universal characteristic, which exhibit clearly that they are not what you think. Yeah. The universal characteristics are impermanent, leading to suffering, the empty nature, non-self nature. When you see all this, then you realize, he no you, he no me. If there is he no you, he no me, then what about all the rest? No reality. Then, as I always explain, the present moment is the highest in life. But how stable is the present moment? Split second is day and gone. This moment they arise, next moment is gone. And that is the highest in life. So how real can life be? That's why when you have mindfulness, you contemplate, you reflect, then you realize all this is not what you think. The reality is the reality. When you have the direct seeing, the awareness nature to observe, you will develop the penetrative wisdom and realization. Then you cannot be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Your mind will transcend, rise above them, no longer deluded. Yeah. Okay, we go to the second foundation of mindfulness. Here, they call it contemplation of sense perception as suffering. This one is actually, I don't know why Mahayana like to use this, but in the true Theravada tradition teaching, the second foundation is mindfulness of feeling. And in the Satipatthana Sutta, it stated clearly, all this feeling, they arise and they pass away. And when they arrive, you're supposed to be aware. Yeah. Then when feeling is pleasant or unpleasant, you must be aware. Means what? The pure feeling has stirred to become pleasant and unpleasant. That's why you arise the like and dislike. And these two are sensual desire and ill-will, the mental hindrance. So when you are mindful, aware, you know this one will bring about suffering, heedlessness. Where your mind with mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then how can you meditate? That's why when you are mindful, you will develop all this understanding. Then when you know that it has stirred and become the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will, then you will know how to retrospectively reverse it. That's why you will not stir your mind anymore. You will develop the wisdom through the direct seeing and the contemplative Dhamma understanding to transcend duality, to go above duality of like and dislike, pleasant. The thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. Condition like that, things will be like that. deluded people do deluded things. You cannot say he is right or he is wrong. Then violent people do violent things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. They are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will contemplate until very clear. Then you will not be deceived by the duality within the existential world. We are within life, within existence. Duality exists. You cannot avoid duality. They are part and parcel of the existential world. That's why Dhamma exists within the existential world. But within the unconditioned, all this, they don't exist. Yeah. That's why in true emptiness, when you have penetrated, realize all this is not what you think. So here I just read through quickly. Yeah. Some sensation may be pleasant at first, but in fact, you will soon discover that within that very pleasure lies the source of displeasure. It is clear that that is the it is clear then that the pursuit of pleasure is pretty meaningless. Yeah. This is Xuan Hua's version. But what I share with you all is every pleasant sense experience is a prelude to suffering. You know why? Because of the universal characteristics of change, impermanent. They are all dependent, originating, condition arising phenomena. When conditions cease to be, they cease to be. That's why whatever situation, how pleasant, how nice, how beautiful it may be, it will soon change. And when it changes, you will suffer. Why? Because you attach to all this beautiful state, pleasant feeling, pleasant sensation. That's why I say, whatever pleasant sensation or feeling that you experience is a prelude to suffering. Where the universal characteristics of change, impermanent, they will manifest. That's why you cannot attach, you cannot cling, even to our youth, our beautiful form when we are young, when we are in our energetic and youthful state, they will soon come to pass. Everything will come to pass. Yeah. Even your suffering, sooner or later, it will come to pass. Yeah. So don't worry. Yeah. That's why there is a song, don't worry and be happy. Because you have two choices when you come to this world. You can choose to be miserable or unhappy, which most people don't know why they get themselves into that situation. They go and complain. They go and like blame people, develop all the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, and they become so angry, so full of hatred, envy, jealousy, unhappiness. Why do you hold on to all this? Because of delusion, ignorance. When you see the reality of it, then you understand, like I always say, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is our choice. Then learn to choose wisely. Choose to be happy and you will be happy. But then the question is, why are most people unhappy? You mean they don't know how to choose? No. Well, they don't know this teaching. They have not awakened to it. They still believe the phenomenal world of consciousness has its own, what they call reality, that they can cling on to, grasp onto, and try to own, try to possess. Through their delusion, they become violent, they become selfish, they become like aggressive, and they do a lot of karmic negativity that lead to karmic entanglement. The result is affliction, suffering, misery. So all these are the two teaching. But I don't know why Mahayana, the four foundation of Mahayana, they like to contemplate like that. Maybe that is the way they have been taught. Okay, the third foundation. Oh, I have to end already. They say contemplation of the mind as transitory, means impermanent. In fact, when it comes to citta nupassana, mindfulness of citta or state of mind, is not supposed to see all this. Of course, transitory or impermanent is one of the universal characteristics. Yeah. But the more important is the Buddha say, when the mind has greed, you must be aware where the evil roots are there, the content of consciousness you must see. When the mind has anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, and then the mind is peaceful, tranquil, still, you must be aware. When the mind is spacious, you must be aware. All this is for you to develop the understanding of that mundane manifestation of sankhara activity and mind state. So when you are aware, you will develop the wisdom. You will develop the understanding. Then when you silence everything and stay with the anger, the mind state, you realize they cease. So the wisdom that's supposed to arise is not that they are impermanent and just forget about it. No. You will come to know that anger is not you. Fear is not you. Worry, anxiety, all these are not intrinsic within our nature. They are dependent, originating mind state, condition arising, cause of no, due to your wrong view. That's why when you see this, you awaken. You straighten your view and you transcend them all. Retrospectively, with the right understanding, reverse all this. Then you can see things as they are without stirring your mind, without reacting, without having getting into emotion and all those things. So these are beautiful understanding. Yeah? So make a note of it. But the Mahayana way, I realize the four foundation, they teach differently. Oh, Alicia, you come in. I didn't see that one, the hand sign.
Good evening.
You got
you,
something to add?
在我们的 Chinese 的 sutta 里面，它是观受是苦，观受是苦，所以那个受哦 actually 是 feeling 来的，所以我不懂为什么他刚才那一段。 用 perception，所以
no, perception is okay. That one no problem. So is cool, is okay. But the real teaching under the four foundation of mindfulness is not only 苦集灭道, the what they call four noble truth. It is mindfulness of feeling. Then the feeling that has become pleasant and unpleasant feeling, you must be aware. Aware means what? Means 你的 sankara, mind state, 已经 stir 了, react 了. It has created what we call the first two mental hindrance of sensual desire in you. That is the teaching. But 他们 use the contemplative wisdom to understand the what they call the four noble truth, which is 苦集灭道. So they like to say feeling is suffering. Actually, feeling is not suffering. The arahant also have feeling, but they don't grasp onto feeling. So feeling can become pure feeling. So sensation or whatever, there is a universal characteristic. That's why the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara anicchang. All sankhara activity or mind state, even including feeling, they are impermanent. They come, they go. That's sabbe sankhara dukkhang. If you attach and cling on to feeling, perception, sankhara, mind state, or even consciousness, it brings about suffering. That's why all sankhara activity, leads to suffering. Then sabbe dhamma anatta, where there is the condition or unconditioned dhamma, is not a permanent unchanging entity. But for human being, you can say it's non-self, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Yeah, it's permanent. There is no such thing. Okay? Alicia? Yeah. 我了解, 因为你们 follow those type of teaching, 受是苦, it gives a lot of meaning to you all, because you all have developed the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, and you all can link it to that thing. But the real four foundation of mindfulness, the teaching is so different from what they share. They share based on, I think, somebody, the great master that went through, then they come out with this so that the cultivator of the way can contemplate easier. Because to go into the four foundation is not so easy. That aspect of cultivation, I realize that Theravada also haven't penetrated it. Not many, very few can understand and develop the cultivation. Okay, Alicia? 还有什么你要 add 吗? You can add.
因为是的, 因为如果是 pure feeling 就没有苦了吗?
对,
谢谢, bro, 感恩。
No problem, no problem. That's why 很多人不了解, they are so used to the format taught by the Theravada tradition, Mahayana tradition. They take it for what it is. But when I look at the two teachings, this is where it has deviated and become different. But not to say that it's of not much use or no use. No, no, it has its usage. If you know how to contemplate and link the teaching, then it has its usage. But to just teach like that without the real four foundation of mindfulness teaching from the Theravada tradition as a base to go up to realize the penetrative wisdom. That's why step 8 of Abhijja Sutta is the four foundation. You must clear the first stage of sainthood and second stage of sainthood. Only you can go there. So when they change the teaching to this, it's like bypassing the four foundation of mindfulness to use the contemplative wisdom and the third turning to penetrate and to realize. If you have your past, of course, you can do it. But you don't have your past, my advice is you better follow the four foundations of mindfulness as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha to realize the deep understanding of what sati is. Then you can go into the awareness nature and develop all those cultivation and transformation. Okay, thanks, Alicia, for bringing it up so that it can be like make much more clearer to cultivate the way. Okay, so we move on. I think I have to end already. Okay, I read through this one, then we end. The constant change in every thought is like a wave on the sea. When the first thought disappears, the next one takes its place, and yet another follow. The thought come and go ceasingly. And thus the mind is ephemeral, means impermanent, doesn't last. Then the Vajra or Diamond Sutta say, past thought cannot be grasped. This one is Guang Qing Lao Sang one. Kuo Qi Xing Bu Ke De, Xian Zai Xing Ye Bu Ke De, Wei Lai Xing Ye Bu Ke De. So the three perceptions of time cannot be grasped onto the illusionary time. So I have explained in my last book. All this, past and future, they are not the reality. They are the illusion of time manifested by thought. Without thought giving it that label, it doesn't exist. Because the only reality is within the moment. Everything arises within the moment. But we go and recall to memory the past, or we project our thought into the future. And these are not reality. These are thought activity, movement. That's why when you dwell in the past and the future, You are not in the present moment. You are lost in thought, deluded. That's why you cannot break free. So that last book, Ultimate Transformation to Transcend Life, explained very clearly. Yeah. So you read through, it will help you. Therefore, we must contemplate the mind as impermanent or transitory. This one is, the Mayana like to use this, but this is only a small part of that important teaching. We have the mind. Is the forerunner of all things, mind is it. There are a lot of things about the mind that you need to develop wisdom through mindfulness, awareness. And all the mind state, Sankara, the 52 mind state, you must understand them. Yeah, they are the manifestation within you when you arise as a living being or a human being, for our case. Yeah. We are often unaware of where our thoughts has gone. In the Mencius, Mengzi, one of the four books in China, it say, when people lost their chicken and dogs, they know how to go searching for them. But when their mind run away, they do not know how to search for them. So if someone's dog run away, the owner know to search for it and may even put up an advertisement in the press or paper to say, I've lost my dog. Then nowadays they got pictures also. Huh? It is such and such a color, weight, so many pounds, and with the photo it become very clear. And also this type of dog. If their chicken run off, the first one is dog, they will look for them everywhere too. But when the mind goes running off, they do not go after them. Where did their thought run off to? How can thought run off? When you have reckless thought, why they use the word reckless? Okay, never mind. It means your mind has run off. Means the heedless thinking. Huh? You may have deluded thought all day long, thinking about getting rich, thinking about being a government official, thinking about seeking fame and profit. These are all deluded thoughts. Actually, he should redefine wrong thought or deluded thought as thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and that conditions suffering, misery, and all those things, fear, worry, anxiety. That will be much more useful. If you are destined to become a government official, you will quite naturally do so. If you are destined to be wealthy, it will happen according to your faith. If you are destined to have a good reputation, you are due to receive it. How much wealth you will obtain is, he said, fated. It's actually karmically determine. You do not need to have ideal thought about it and seek after it. Nevertheless, people insist on seeking after fame and profit, wealth and position, and do not understand that they should do good deeds. Now, this one is also important. If you want your future to be bright, you should merely do good deeds and not ask what the future will bring. If you do good deeds, things will naturally go well with you. So that part, I think, you can maybe just read through, and for your own understanding, maybe just glance through. But the third foundation, like I have explained, you have to develop mindfulness to develop the true penetrative understanding. Then we stop here, number four. So they like to say contemplate all phenomena as lacking independent reality. So this one is actually Dhammanupassana, contemplation on truth, the Dhamma, the five category of what they call Dhamma contemplation. Yeah. So this one is not phenomena. That's why they got it wrong. But never mind. The next class sharing after the retreat, I will go through with you. I mark this page. Okay, now we open up for a second session. Maybe we will have Q&A or meditation reporting. Anybody who wants to come in, you can.
Amitofo, Brother Teo,
Yeah,
Mrs.
Amitofo.
Teo, and all Kayamitas. I have this great opportunity to be here today for the physical class. So I decided to come earlier so that I can attend the class also. Because for a long time I never come much earlier than I wanted. Usually it's the day before the Cameron
Retreat,
retreat. Since I have the opportunity, good condition, I say why
Sadhu.
not? So I also can take like a vacation for me lah, so I don't have to do housework. So but bad news for my husband lah, he has to do all the stuff.
I think no problem. I think he will be happy to do that role.
But he just tapau lah, still.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That is
so
what men will do, huh? Tapao.
Today's topic about the four foundation of mindfulness.
The analogy leading to the
Yes,
four foundation.
yes. So actually, this topic is not easy for me, you know. Maybe I talk about my experience,
Can,
Brother can I? So it wasn't easy for me because when I first introduced into this, right? What the language is so difficult, you know, Brazil. Yeah, I cannot understand it. Don't know what is it. Keep repeating the word. You know, the words itself, wow, cannot understand the English. So had great difficulty understanding it. So when I learn from Brother Teo, right? From the yellow book, I think. Yeah, the yellow book. It's so much easier to
Easier,
understand that, you know. So I had that good condition, Brother Teo, for whatever reason. Somehow, this Kayamita group, they are so good in transcribing all the necessary talks, you know,
Talks that
so that
are important.
yes, so that people like me that came later that
Can
never get to
benefit.
attend can benefit so much, you know, Brother Teo. Yeah, so I had so much joy reading it. But of course, the first time I read it, know a bit of it lah. But after I had sati, things is
Become very different.
different. Yes. So whatever you say just now, give me a lot of joy because that is what you will experience in your daily life, you
Daily
know.
life.
Yes, when you have the mindfulness, you can
And the
actually
sati.
see, you
You
can
can
actually
see
see
all
all
this
this, you
and
know.
understand
Yeah,
all
and you can
this.
understand that. So it give me a lot of joy.
Sadhu.
Amitabha, thank you.
Amitabha. Thank you.
Yes, so I rejoice in that.
Can,
And
can.
the very important happened that I talked to my sister just now on the way here. So we talk about the sati, mindfulness, and the kayanupassana. Yes, this one, I mean, is sometimes it's not say it's simple to say, you know, theoretically it's simple to say, but actually to do it,
Very
a
difficult
very
one.
difficult
If
one,
you
no?
don't have the understanding
Yes.
and somebody who has realized to guide you, you cannot
Yes,
do it. You
exactly.
cannot.
Very
Because
difficult.
even I realize under the Theravada tradition, even well-cultivated, I realize they don't have clear understanding of what the four foundation is all about. So far, I have yet to see one good one that can explain the thing, but cannot. Like what you mentioned just now, because you are new at that time. So the four foundation of mindfulness got so much Pali word, Kaya-nupassana. Then Vedana-nupassana. Then Citta-nupassana. Then you have the Dhamma-nupassana. And all these are Pali word. Then they translate into English, a lot of version. Mindfulness of kaya, they not sure what that thing is or no. That's why the Mahayana use the physical body as foul. They go along that direction, easier to teach that way. But what the Buddha really teach is different. The six category, the first one is anapanasati, another Pali word. The mindfulness of the in and out. If you are new, really you catch no ball. They are hooky one. Then the four posture, standing aware, sitting aware, you think people can understand? Hardly anybody can understand. And most people would have asked, well, no, what is there to be aware? Why stand also aware for what? Sit aware for what? Answer nature called FF for what is it? Just do lah. They cannot understand why the Buddha actually presented the teaching in that way. Like Po Cheng say, without mindfulness, you cannot understand one. Then the first time you see my transcript or the note, it's not easy to understand one. Well, yesterday, you remember, you brought up that chart. You say after I recall that chart, that one on the human being transformation, the four circle formation. Then you recall, then you send to Sui. Then Sui do it up and print out. I print it out, and today I send the original there. And she told me what, no. Actually, in the early day, I want to make sure got condition to help them. Every time I share in the class, I will photostat more so that I give her a copy, my son a copy. He said she remembers she saw that copy inside the stack that he still keep. But she that time cannot understand. She looked at it in words only, you know, like what you go through. Because when you are not ready, you cannot understand. But after the last few years helping me do all this, now with the retreat experience and the understanding that she has developed, it's like what happened to you when you located that particular teaching. It's so beautiful, you know, that it stand out now. It's not only the four circle formation which I used to teach you in the early stage. From the source, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness, then the mundane mind, then the phenomenal world of consciousness. This is as it is, as very basic beginning. But when you develop the cultivation, which is all the teaching, is from the human being that the Buddha start. Mind is a forerunner of all things. That's why that samsaric mind, which is the mundane mind, with the coming entanglement, one side is cultivation, one side is heedless living. And how you develop the cultivation until the wisdom comes and you transform, then that samsaric mind, or mundane mind, transform into the supramundane mind. And that one, when it's up there, you go towards living, it become enlightenment living. Means for the Aryas. You go left, you return the pure awareness and the source. This is the Bodhisattva way to realize enlightenment and develop the full understanding of the cultivation. That's why that chart is very complete, no? Very, very complete, no? And I was full of joy because I forgot that I shared this. Yeah, it's in the Surangama Sutta at that time. And luckily, Miss Lee, he draw the skeleton thing, but I edited it because she cannot understand. After I edited it, that time we don't have Canva and all that. So now Sui has... He make it into very much more neater and beautiful chart form. That's why with technology it helps. And what you said is very true. Initially very difficult because the Pali word, the English translation. And if I don't explain all this, hardly anybody understand. I think at that time, Eng Bi was also at the Sunday Wu Ping Qing Se class. She was very, very happy and impressed. Yeah? That's how they all volunteer to transcribe out the book, you know, the yellow book. The Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the summary of it, no? The final summary, huh? Remember. Oh, that final summary, I use the, what they call, the Theravada, got an English translation of Satipatthana Sutta. No? That one, a lot of English word run, not accurate. But I modify it. Then I use it to teach and explain. Then that yellow book was very beautiful. And you know how to read through, like what Po Cheng went through, it become easy to understand. If I don't explain all this, I tell you, very confusing. So this is very good condition for cultivator of the way to develop the understanding. So after you have the realization and the understanding, after you progress, you look back, it's exactly like what this sutta mentioned. No? The elder is the Buddha. Yeah? The Buddha can see, no? Everywhere is burning. No? It's just like the fire sermon, you remember? The fire sermon, one more detail, no? The eye is burning. Yeah. What is it burning? The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then whatever sense data that come to the eye is also burning. Oh. And consciousness that arise is also burning. So all these are burning. Oh. So it's like that burning house analogy. Yeah? The five aggregates of form and mind, when you grasp and cling to ignorance and delusion, they are really tormenting the living being. That's why they see everything is burning, like the fire sermon. So all this will become very clear to the cultivator of the way that has awakened. But if you are deluded and heedless without the Dhamma understanding, you still think everything is so interesting or so nice or so what they call enticing or so luring, no? And you still chase after things, no? And sometimes argue over small things, no? Petty things, no? But the danger of your own existence is being threatened, you cannot see, no? And the danger of that law of karma that continuously torment and trigger of affliction and suffering to heedless living being. That one, all they cannot see. That's why that sutta's analogy is very good. Then when it comes to cultivation, it's even more difficult to see. Where this itself, when you are lost, nobody can teach you how to understand all this. You go and tell them, hey, run, fire. They say, where got fire? Like those people at the party, They enjoy the drinks, the food, and all the whatever good thing, music, everything. And you tell them, you better leave fast, otherwise you have to pay for the party. They don't believe you. They say, kam to leng ye, you don't want to partake. Come, have fun. They tell you, have fun. Then, finally, everybody left already, you drunk down there, you end up what? Footing the bill and get into trouble. So all these are the analogy that you can see while you live life within the existential world. But these are the reality that living beings who are deluded or human beings who are deluded or heedless, they manifest this type of heedless living and behavior. And this is what the Dhamma is all about. Without Dhamma understanding to liberate and free the mind, there is no way living being can actually develop the understanding to transcend birth and death, to bring about enlightenment in the here and now, and to understand life and truly have the wisdom to live life. Not easy. That's why you look back, you all really will feel a lot of joy, a lot of, like, very blessed that you have this understanding and you have this condition. And how many in the world, existential world, can really encounter the Dhamma, to be born a human and understand this and appreciate this. That's why I say you are not simple. 不简单, you have your past. But don't allow it to slip away. Make full use of it. Then this life, establish it, stabilize it, so that in future, all your future coming, becoming, all taken care of. And the whole of the cultivation to Sammasambuddhahood perfection can be like sealed. So this is what you all should determine strongly. That this window of opportunity, the golden window, is very, very rare. And you have it now while you are still having the good life and condition to go through. So make the aditan, make the aspiration, then plant the seed of bohi until very, very stable. Determine with all your merits and all your whatever good merits and wholesomeness that you have cultivated. I used to say, like play poker, silang everything, evoke power of merit and all go in. Well, this is the only way for you to really establish it firmly. And when you see the beauty, the importance, and the uniqueness of this teaching, and you will go all out. And when you go all out and determine, there is a very powerful aditana energy that goes in. And this one, like the bohi mind that is being planted deep and very stable, it will manifest one, life after life, one, whenever you come. That's why like this line, my nature come. When I young, very young, I already knew I different already. Yeah. Then when the time come, form 4, form 5, I search already. I got no suffering, nothing. But I know how to inquire already. Then the moment I saw the 4 noble truth, that time I was in lower 6. I straight away say no need to search it, that's it. Then how did I have all this understanding? It's because of the way I developed the Bodhisattva way. Then later on, after the 86, the message came, Guan Yin, Maitreya, and all the teacher, the guy, all within that 2-3 years, all come. Then this nature connect. Then after that, inherit the spiritual nature. Then I realized why my nature was like that. Well, the karmic nature already established. Everything already set through the Bodhisattva vow and understanding. And from there, when I connect in 89, the spiritual understanding came back. That's why I told you all, a lot of the thing I teach you all that I come to know this life, I never learned this life. Then how did I know? Then how did I understand all these sutta? Even the commentator who did the commentary also may not penetrate so deep, but I can explain to you and tell you all this is because of this cultivation that my nature had developed as understanding. That's why Maitreya came. Otherwise, why should he come of all the many? So all these are like meant to be our website, everything, and you all get to partake all this and become Kayamita. It's not by chance. There are causes and conditions on the past. In the past, you all have been doing a lot of this type of work before. That's why this sasana, all this can come back and fall into place and give rise to causes and conditions for this thing to manifest and become available. So sadhu to you, putting for bringing out all this condition to allow my nature to share all this understanding. But this is like for all your future understanding, because as you go along this Bodhisattva way cultivation, you need all this understanding one, which you cannot get from other places. No book, right? And So far, hardly any teacher who can share and teach this to you. And all this, by nature, to you, this whole complete teaching, which is so extensive, not easy to develop the understanding to share and teach. But to understand it yourself, it will take you so long. No? But because of my unique way and my special miscellaneous and additional vow, that's why my last guide has to come and activate that thing. And I was ahead of time by at least 10 to 20 years, or 10 to 15 years. No? Then after that, that transformation happened. No? Then from 89 to 2004, that 15 to 16 years was like very good, what they call internal transformation. That's why when I came out in 2004, I was ready already. Then everything I teach since 2004 until now, nothing changed. No? It's just a follow-up, become more and more. But everything that I said never changed. Yeah. The teaching is still the teaching. That's why it never get obsolete. And all the notes that I wrote, like that chart, 2013, now only many people start to see the beauty, the explanation, the interconnection. That's why in the early day, remember, I hinted to you, anybody who can understand 10% of what I teach in the early day, he's already very, very good. He or she already very, very good. And now, with all this understanding that unfold and explanation, you start to recall back. Then you know, not only I didn't exaggerate, in fact, the 10% is already a very high reference. Actually, hardly anybody can understand 1 or 2%. If you can understand 1 or 2%, already very good. But at that time, I use 10%. I don't want you all to think that I speak with an arrogant mind. So 10% is a benchmark, which is already very high. But it's good. At that time, I had to use that. Because it is a number that is just nice, though. To let people know that the whole teaching is not what you think. Then, not too low, which is not a realistic figure, because if you put too low, people would think differently. So that's why I use 10. 10% out of 100 is still 109, not too much. But actually, by right, you talk about true understanding, it's already too high a benchmark. So all these are like meant to be. Yeah. Okay, Pocheng, back to you. We got 2 more minutes. Sorry.
Okay, Mahasadhu, very dear, for this profound Sadhu. Teaching. In fact, there are so much to learn, Brother Teo. All these are not simple but very profound teaching. And I'm really, really very grateful to Brother Teo for all this amazing teaching with all the transcript books done by all Kayamitas that supporting Brother Teo in this Buddha Sasana. So this is an amazing golden window of opportunity for us to really determine, you know, with Aditana, strong Aditana, that we will go out, you know, die this life complete.
Then as Kayamita, you all will continue to have this, what they call beautiful affinity and relationship to become great beings in the future. You all will connect back on. Because all this is like meant to be. Sadhu.
Brother, one last thing I want to say is personal experience. After I cultivated very seriously, from nothing to where I am today, is all through own effort. But of course, with Brother Teo's teaching, that is so clear for me lah, to understand and then really cultivate very hard, no? Like,
because
don't
what,
give up, you know, just do, you know.
What you did was because of your past also, because you are very sincere. And you just follow instruction, or you don't have the karmic complicatedness, like a lot of kayamita, where they are exposed to a lot of teaching, they become very rigid, the knowledge prevent them from it. You are with the faith, you go all out.
Yes, correct.
Like you told your sister, just follow instruction. Whatever brother you do, don't go and question. Try it out.
Yes.
You got nothing to lose.
Correct.
Then, surprisingly, after you do, you not only develop the progress and transformation, it happens so fast. You located the gateway.
Yes, correct.
That one, I was also amazed and shocked. Of course, I got joy, but amazed. And I told a lot of company, how can he move so far? He was in Singapore. He hardly come to see me. And on her own, when she has the faith, she contemplated on death. They call it Marana Nusati. He becomes so serious. And when you want to become serious, MCO come. Then he thought, cannot miss. But turned out to be a blessing in the girl. I go and hold the Heart Sutakra over 8 months. And that time he learned. And he absorbed like a sponge or everything. And he just follow instruction and do. Then the reporting, I tell you, you're really amazed. How the sati come and how when he located the gateway, the discussion, and how he transformed. Then he say, go and buy fruit also with sati. Everything she do is in sati. And he say, it's exactly like what Brother Teo described. This one, really, if you cultivate correctly, all these things unfold. That's why I say, you can use whatever word to explain or describe it, but those who realize, like the Buddha say, pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, enlightened one, each by itself. It's like that one. And everything fall into place. And whatever after that I teach or explain, she can follow. You understand? Just like Sui last time, he said it's only word. She herself told me only word. Because no meaning at that time, they don't have the condition, the interest and all those things. But now she look at it so different. There's still the same sheet of paper. Understand? It's just like I told you after 89, nothing has changed. The condition was still the condition. But how come that time, when the Manimai collapsed, the nature shine for everything I see is so different? That's why I say, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see, every moment, every instant. But for those who cannot see, they never see. Because Dhamma is like that. You are not ready. You don't have the penetrative awakening. You cannot see. Just like Pujang say, before the sati come, cannot understand. I remember the first two retreats. He said, Brati, pardon me. I got a lot of questions. He said, I very new. He said, I'm Mongcha Chawan. He said, I said, don't worry. Take your time. But then later on, when she becomes serious, she just transforms so fast. It's a matter of your determination, your faith. And when you become serious, the sadha virya will drive you. So hopefully this will give a lot of confidence and faith to a kayamita to go this way. So let us rejoice.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But brother, before that, right, I want to say is because of what I shared and what Brother Teo shared back to me, it gives me so much confidence, you know, Brother Teo, that what Brother Teo thought is matching, very matching, you know, with the Buddha's teaching,
correct,
the Dharma, Dharma Vandana. It matched, you know, so I had so much joy and confidence, you know. That's why I tell my sister, you know, cannot be that Brother Teo can say the same thing, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like very shocking and amazing for me when when I first time shared on the Zoom with Brother Teo,
correct,
you know, I was so shocked myself, you know, Brother Teo, you know. that whatever you said, match with my
Your
meditation
experience
itself,
and
you know,
your
experience, you know.
meditation.
I was totally amazed, lah. Yeah, that's why
Sadhu.
everything is
Very
pretty
good, very good.
amazing and gives me a lot of faith, sada, you know.
But also lucky because of you. Well, your sister, like she told me, he said, if it's not you, she won't believe. Whoever tell him or her also, she won't believe. You ask her. This is what she told me. Well, she said she know you. You cannot lie on. You like that one. So it's because he heard from you, he has faith and he continue until today, you know, the Tuesday class. Most of the time she's here. And it's because she helped you, you help her back.
Hopefully she will listen and do.
No problem. She will have her.
Yeah, but I think she got the very good lesson.
Yeah, the Wu Tai San
there,
Wu Tai San that one is meant to be.
Yeah, very very penetrating.
And the last session, when she keep on trying to report that she can feel her vibration or the thing, she got excited. But that is the beginning already.
Yes.
Then I explained to her, don't be complacent and stuck there.
Yes.
Yeah, that is not the thing here. That is the beginning. So you stabilize that one until your sati can.
Yes. Then you can move, you know.
No, then the understanding will happen by itself.
One. Yes, correct.
You not only stop there with the joy, oh, now I can feel the vibration. The vibration is just the beginning. It means your sati has improved. You become more sensitive. Right? You, at least without the stethoscope, you can feel all this vibration, right? Which is a good sign. But you need to stabilize it, silence your mind completely, and let it transform further. Let it stabilize until the mind completely got no thought. Then after that, go for the what they call fourth support. But the first, second, third support, after you feel the vibration, that is just a beginning. Then you need to stabilize it until mind enters sati. Then go to the heart there, the fourth support. And then that time you really transform. That's how you penetrated and transform very fast. Because I was so surprised though. Without really coming to me, after that first two retreats, go back the 8 months, when I go to the heart, so she just, with a lot of joy, listen attentively and follow the instruction and just do, you know. And the whole thing really come out. Because that is what you need to understand. Don't be complicated. Understand? The mind that is very complicated cannot learn on. We have too much knowledge and too much of this, what they call views, opinion, and condition. You tend to doubt. You know. Why last time the monk teach me not like that? The book never write like that. Nobody teach like that. Your doubt is inside there. Right? You will not develop the faith and to go and follow the instruction and do. When I say don't try to know, don't try to do, they cannot understand or no. If I don't try to know, then how can I learn? They will ask like that. Then if I don't do, then who is meditating? Again, they cannot understand. Well, it's like very contradictory, you know. But that doing and the knowing is by the thought. When your thought is active, you cannot be aware. That is the breakthrough. And most people cannot understand that one. Because to them, the thought is the only instrument in life that they have. So all this is very beautiful. We better end. Wow, 38 already. 10 to 38. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merits, transfer merits. Akasata ca bumata Dewa naga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Kirang rakantu loka sasana Ita wata jamehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe dewa anumodantu Sapa sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatina hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatina hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatukalena Sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Let me end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.